Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 45 of Classic Leap. My name is Tony, and I'm here with my friend Scott. How you doing tonight, Scott?
I'm bummed out, man.
Why? What's up?
It is, it's cold, but, I only have a half day Friday. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go golfing or not.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know.
The rest of us have to work.
But no, man, I'm doing really good. We have some, cool fan mail, have some, announcements. I've got some really cool retro stuff to talk about, and you haven't told me at all what you're going to talk about on the modern portion, so I'm pretty eager to hear what you have to say. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing the episode.
Well, I don't want to look ahead. You know, it's always bad in any event or any performance of any kind to look ahead, but I'm getting really excited for episode 50. So just to build some hype for our listeners out there, we have some amazing, amazing guests that are going to be on episode 50, and I can't wait for y'all to hear it.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited about it. Now, I'm the ultimate pessimist, so I won't believe it until it's recorded. I'm still not even 100% sure Super Meat Boy was ever on our show.
Oh, they were, man. So. It's good stuff.
But yeah, to kick off the show, do you want to talk about the announcement, or do you want to roll into some fan mail first?
Let's roll into some fan mail. See what's
right. Well, we owe a quick apology. Our buddy VK, and it's our fault. Actually, it's my fault. Dude, the way that your email came through, we actually accidentally missed some email that he wrote in for episode 44. So sorry about that, VK. So we definitely want to give him some props and read through what he wanted to talk about. He wanted to basically talk about games that haven't been translated to English yet, and it looks like Xenoblade might be one. The Last Story and Xenoblade are games that haven't been translated yet. And he forgot to mention that he's really looking forward to the Skyward Sword, The Conduit 2, and possibly Tales of Grace. So Tales of Grace is a title I'm not really familiar with. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm not real. I mean, I've heard the title, but yeah, I'm not super familiar with it. So.
Okay. And he does bring up that he's excited about Retro City Rampage coming out in December. And I could be off base here, but I'm pretty sure that the Retro League did an interviews with the internet with the guy that did Retro City Rampage. And it's kind of like a Grand Theft Auto in an 8-bit style. It's more along the lines of, I guess, the original Grand Theft Auto. I think everybody that thinks of GTA thinks of Grand Theft Auto 3. But this looks like a pretty cool game. So Retro City Rampage, keep your eyes out towards the end of the year. That should be getting released, which is cool. You know, that's another retro-inspired game that's going to come out for the console.
What is it?
Retro City Rampage. It's a.
I thought it was. Oh, okay.
It's an 8-bit game, okay. But it's meant to be like a Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, awesome.
You remember the River City Ransom?
Yeah, well, they're remaking that.
Well, that they're remaking.
Re-releasing it.
This is totally unrelated, though. This is not. Okay. Retro City Rampage is inspired by those types of games.
Okay.
So, definitely VK. I also am looking forward to that, which is pretty cool. He says, shame on me. People wanted to see English patched games, but I forgot to link it. So, that's my bad, dude. Sorry. I will definitely link this time for sure your blog. That way people can take a look at the patch site. And then he writes in also that his favorite villain is Reggie from Nintendo, Nintendo of America's president. I thought that was pretty funny. He's mad because Reggie had promised Mother 3 on the Game Boy Advance, and that never happened. The effer lied, and so technically he is a villain, and I thought that was pretty cool. And what now?
I think Reggie is just, I don't know. He's just weird, man.
He's a goofy dude.
You're just kind of like, why is he in video games? Like that kind of thing?
Yeah, he's
awkward.
Awkward is exactly what I was going to say.
Well, you know, like it's funny because the guys that care about money, like the people who run Sony, it's funny because like Sony did something brilliant. They have a fake person, Kevin Butler, you know, like a fake VP or COO or whatever that runs the company in front of the public. I mean, I originally thought the guy really worked for Sony and he was just cool, but yeah, he's just some actor.
Yeah.
that people love. And so, like, they did, you know, at E3 this year, they took off stage the VP guys, like the COOs and whatnot, and they brought Kevin on to talk about Sony. It was brilliant because people love him, you know. So,
and Nintendo, they don't even need to hire an actor. They've already got a guy on payroll. So I don't know. There's the one thing that I will give credit to Reggie for is he genuinely does seem very enthused. If it's an act, he's a really darn good actor. I do like his excitement around Nintendo. And anytime that you do have a leader that at least portrays that excitement, it can't be that bad. But yeah, VK, man, he's definitely had some promises out there and let some gamers down. So I totally feel you there. So also, one thing I do want to bring up is that not only am I going to link the English patch site for VK, he actually does an unboxing of Pure Solar, which is really cool. So we, I think, are getting a copy of Pure Solar as well for the show. And we'll send a link so people can see what Pure Solar is all about. And he also agrees that Critical Failure is awesome. So very cool there. And VK, thanks for writing in, man. I'm really, really sorry that I missed you once. And I appreciate you actually bringing it to my attention. I felt bad. And I'm glad that I'm able to make an apology on air to you. And we have another email from our good buddy C-Bomb. And he says, "Hey guys, I came up with some games that I would like to be remade," which I thought was really, really cool. Thanks for taking the initiative there, C-Bomb. His first one is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And then this is the BioWare game that you informed me about. So what do you think about that, Tony? Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. You think that one needs an HD remake?
I think it would be cool. I don't know if it needs one yet. I mean, I was just playing that about a month ago on the PC. It was on Steam really cheap, and so I picked it up. I mean, it still holds its... I mean, it still holds its clout pretty well. It's cool. A good game. So, yeah.
That's cool.
But, I mean, it never hurts to have an HD remake. I mean, I love Star Wars, so that would be cool.
Yeah, and he also brings up number two would be Fighting Force on the PlayStation 1.
Good game.
I've never played it. What's it about?
It's about sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Perfect. Let's remake it.
So, but it is a sweet game. Nice. I'm just going to, since you like surprises, I'm going to let you go to YouTube and watch some videos.
Okay, that's fair enough. And number three is Gex on the PS1 and Nintendo 64.
The lizard game, I think.
Yeah, that is. It's a little gecko guy, which is cool. I know that mascot. I've never played any of those games, but C-Bomb, those all seem to be pretty good choices. So, you know, we appreciate you giving some extra remakes. Hopefully somebody important listens to the last couple of episodes of our show and start remaking some of these games. We've had some really cool ones pointed out. And then we do have one more piece of fan mail, and then Tony, we'll have you read the comment.
Okay.
But it's from our good buddy Retro Kaiser, and it's you know, he's kind of the guy I consider to be maybe our first fan. It's toss up between him and Travers, but I think Kaiser might take the cake on that one. But he says he votes yes, that a gameplay video should be released, and he's referring to my entire playthrough with commentary of Contra being released on our YouTube page. So, Tony, remember I made the promise that if three people over the lifespan of the show write in and say that they would like it on YouTube, then I'll upload it. So we've got one down, and we need two more to go, and I'll bite the bullet. It's just, I don't know, man. It's kind of embarrassing. It's not really a very good video. Kaiser, though, was very, very gracious. I was talking to him on Skype yesterday. He said that he did enjoy it, so that made me feel pretty good. And he also says that he didn't have Zelda and Mario cereal while growing up, but he did have Pokemon cereal and Mario spaghetti. I vaguely remember a Mario spaghetti, but I'm not surprised by Pokemon cereal. They're really that franchise just won't go away.
It's huge.
It is.
I've never even really played it.
Me either. It seemed it was surprising to me that it's caught on so much. Just because when it first came out, I don't know. We were in our late teens, something like that, maybe. Maybe we were like 16, 17, 18. And it looked like such a little kiddie thing that was going to be a flash in the pan, popular for a couple years, and would fade away. And the hoopla around the Pokemon Black and White coming out has just been crazy.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, I'm surprised about that, to be quite honest. Now,
I know.
He also says that the hardest level he's played was the Tower Battle in Shining Force 2. It's the third of the last fight in the game, he says. Just the way the path is, and there's a bunch of really strong enemies that can wipe you out with one spell in the way. So that's the hardest level. Now, he does say that he wants to be a guest on episode 50. Kaiser, you can be on the reserve list right now, but we think that we have everything all booked up. So we'll see what we can do, but I think that we may be a little booked up on there. Sorry about that. But he also wants to do a music talk special. So if I actually get that going, man, I'm definitely going to have to get Kaiser in on there. You listen to Tom Petty and Dave Matthews all day, so you're not going to be included in that.
Good. You and Kaiser are like on a different level when it comes to music, so I'll just leave you two alone. So.
Yeah, but Kaiser, man, thanks for writing in, dude. We really appreciate it, and I'm glad that down there in Australia, they hooked you up with some Pokemon cereal and some Mario SpaghettiOs. Very, very cool stuff. So I think that does wrap up what fan mail we have. So,
oh, you're going to skip me?
No, 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 no. So what comments do we have to go over?
All right. Well, we have Kevin as one comment we have, and he actually wrote in on episode 43. Wait, yeah, 43.
43. So. He did it, dude, that like the day after we recorded, he posted that. So this should have been on last episode, but it wasn't.
So Kevin says, I have to say my favorite villain, if you remember when we talked about favorite villains.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite villain is Psycho Mantis from the Metal Gear Solid series. The character was badass and the whole battle was great. I remember having no idea how to beat him until Rooster told me. When the game first came out, internet was not so big, so we had nothing to look up, and to try plugging in the controller in a different port. Basically, it was him being a smartass and it worked, and that was the solution. At the time, I didn't realize Psycho Mantis was reading my memory card, so when he asked if I liked Castlevania, I just thought, cool, some more breaking the fourth wall shtick. Needless to say, moving the controller was hilariously awesome, and the whole battle was awesome. He is indeed my favorite villain. Back to you. Man, Psycho Mantis, great pick. Very great pick.
So what happened there? You actually had to physically remove your controller and put it into the second player port?
Well, the guy who creates Metal Gear Solid is incredibly creative, and so he's always thinking of these amazing things. Like, I remember having to refight Psycho Mantis in Metal Gear Solid 4, and dude, that game, those boss battles are freaking hard in that game, and it was an awesome battle, but it's amazing, like, all the stuff that the guy thinks about. Like, there's even this part in Metal Gear Solid 4 where Snake is sleeping on the helicopter on the way to the mission, and he actually has a flashback to Metal Gear Solid, like an actual part of the story, and you actually replay that part of the story in the original PlayStation 1 graphics.
Oh, cool.
And then he wakes up. I mean, it's awesome. It's incredibly creative. So, yeah.
Is that the Kojima guy?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Okay, cool.
Hideo Kojima.
Yeah.
He's awesome. So it's crazy, man. Like, it's just – so that was just another – you know, the fact that he had him – like, since he's, you know, psycho, he had him be able to read the memory card.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Thanks for writing in, Kevin. That was a good comment.
Yeah, everybody, please go check out paranerds.com and listen to their podcast. Theirs is very – very good, and the audio quality is excellent, if I don't say so myself. I helped him out a little bit with an Audacity trick. So I heard him kept complaining about something, so sent him a quick little note and helped him out with something that, Tony, that you actually taught me on how to remove some static noise. So
good stuff.
Pay it forward, right?
And the gift goes on. Anyways, before we jump into retro, I just want to leave a quick announcement for our listeners. We will no longer be broadcasted on GNET Radio. Scott and I have decided to end our relationship with them. We will still be in contact as a supporter of the station.
Yep.
Just decided that we no longer want to be aired on GNET. And so I just want to thank Al and everyone over at GNET for all the help they've given us since the beginning. And it's been fun being on the station, and we wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you very much, guys. We really do appreciate the support you've given us. And we do have nothing but nice things to say about my GNET radio. So thanks again, guys. We appreciate it.
All right, Scott. Well, let's jump right into the retro portion for this episode and see what you got on the table.
All right, so I'm at the gaming store, the new gaming store, Midtown Media, here in Findlay, that I talked about over the last couple of episodes, and it's the place that you bought your Saturn. Well,
okay,
it's time for me to buy a Genesis, right? So I get one. Awesome. I bought Sonic 2 because he has oodles of them. They're like a dollar. I bought NBA Jam Tournament Edition. That's a must-have in a Genesis collection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a boxed with manual X-Men game in really good condition. And it was $10. I don't know if that was a great price or not, but for $10 and it was a game that I really loved, you know what? Heck, throw it in. It's good for the collection. So I had this Genesis, and actually before I get to what I wanted to talk about, when you mentioned earlier that Kojima is known for being really creative, X-Men, for the Sega Genesis, has an incredibly broken feature in the game where they tried to be creative and they just really missed the boat. Have you ever played X-Men for Genesis?
Is it just X-Men?
Yeah.
I'm sure I have. There's so many different versions of X-Men out there, so,
well,
yeah.
There's a part where you come up to this big, giant, massive computer. And on the screen, it says something along the lines of, the computer needs to be restarted. And you're supposed to literally tap, and I mean tap, the reset button on the Genesis. If you tap it the right way, the game resets and you actually continue on where you should be. But if you hit it too hard, it'll reset the game completely. And for one, that's just incredibly cryptic. No one's going to figure that out unless you're told to do that, you know? It's kind of like when Kevin in his email was talking about how Rooster was joking around about putting a controller in the other jack and that worked. That would be the same as somebody saying, well, why don't you try to reset the Genesis and it working. So just wanted to point that out, that even though there's that huge flaw in the game, and I believe a Genesis 3 doesn't have a reset button. I might be wrong there, but I think that it might not. So you can't actually beat X-Men on a Genesis 3, if I'm correct there. So that's just sort of an odd thing. But it is a really good game. It sounds great. It's got really good music. I love it. So, but anyways, a main part of the reason why I really needed a Sega Genesis is a while ago, our good buddy Retro Kaiser sent us a care package. And one of the things that I kept out of the care package was Rocket Knight Adventures for the Mega Drive. Yeah. Dude, it's region locked. And I was talking to Kaiser last night on Skype about it, and he said that what it does, or what I told him happens, is the sign that it's locked out. What'll happen is the traditional licensed by Sega thing will come up, and then it shows the Konami screen and then stops. And that's a sign that you're locked out. So one thing that I want to ask everybody, does anybody out there know a way to get around your region lock? Would maybe a Game Genie get around it? Because they sell at Midtown Media, they've got a boatload of Sega Genesis Game Genies, and they're $5 a piece. So if a Game Genie would work, I would be willing to pay $5 to be able to play Rocket Knight. So if anybody out there has any tips or maybe a really good YouTube tutorial on how to get around that, please send it to us at classicleet@gmail.com. Or you can send it directly to me, scott@classicleet.com. Either way, I'll definitely see it. But yeah, if anybody has a way to work around region lockout, that would be awesome, because Rocket Knight's a game that I really, really, really want to play. And especially what I want to do is make a video just honoring how cool Retro Kaiser is. So if anybody has a way for me to get around that, that would be great.
I want to I want to see if we can get that. I never ordered the cords for that Mega Drive that Kaiser sent us.
No, he sent us a Master System.
Or Master System. So, but I wanted to see if like the Sega cords worked on that, and maybe we could fire it up in that.
Well, I wouldn't imagine it would work because it's a Mega Drive game, wouldn't play in a Master System.
Oh, duh. I'm sorry.
So.
See, that's what I get for talking during the retro portion.
That's right. You forgot too easily.
I'm not that familiar with Master System Mega Drive because, you know, I was always used to just Genesis and Nintendo and all that stuff. So I'm getting more used to it, but I'd like to try to get that to work anyways.
Yeah, that goes back kind of to an email that Jerry Terrifying wrote about when he was talking about the Ultra Games, the episode after the Ultra Games discussion that we had mentioned about the monopoly that Nintendo managed to create here in the States, and it really kept a superior system from a, you know, the specs of the Master System are superior to the Nintendo. So it would have been cool to see the Sega Nintendo feud at the 8-bit level too instead of just the 16-bit. But yeah, dude, I'm with you. I've never really, I don't know if I've ever played a Master System before. Huh, interesting. We have to change that. So, I did mention that I picked up Sonic 2 for a dollar or so.
And good buy.
Yes, that's a good buy, but, you know, I know that a lot of people love Sonic 2 as their favorite Sonic game. I just can't get on board with that. I like Sonic 1 much more, and you know what? It was better than I remember it being. So I will give it credit for that. And the first stages are great. I had a lot of fun. But I get to the second level, dude, and they put the frickin' water in the second level. You know, what the hell? I hate water in the Sonic games. Sonic's water might be the worst of any game of all time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't like the water. But I'm with you on liking Sonic 1 better than Sonic 2. I was always a big fan of Sonic 1. So.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. I definitely played Sonic 1 more. I know it better. So Sonic 2 feels like a good game. And when Sonic 2 HD is released on Xbox Live, I will be downloading that day one and playing it. No question about it. It'll look really cool. But, yeah, Sonic 2, I don't know. I guess the one thing that I do have to give the Sonic team credit for, and any early developer that realized this, is the code that is available to do level selection is brilliant. It allows you to experience the entire game if there's something that you can't get past. I know that there's a level in Sonic 1 that I can never seem to get past, but I can beat every other level. And the only reason I know that is because of the cheat code. So I do have to give Sonic Team and any other developer credit for doing that and understanding that there's going to be some levels that some gamers just aren't going to get past. So, you know, I will definitely get through and play every level of that game. And you know what? I hope that it's a fan-made HD rendition that's coming out for Xbox Live. So I'm hoping that they include that level selection as well. Who knows? I'll keep my fingers crossed. But, yeah, so I'm on Dig, and Dig.com had a really neat write-up about you're familiar with the documentary King of Kong, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the King of Kong stars got together for kind of a head-to-head tournament. So Billy Mitchell, Steve Wiebe, and then Dr. Hank Chen, they all were in this tournament together where they kind of like shut down part of a strip mall and had – I believe they had some other games going on as well. But the focus was definitely that the three best Donkey Kong players ever were all going to compete in a live tournament. And basically the tournament went over 2 days, and I think it came down to basically high score wins. And over those 2 days, I don't know. I didn't read the article close enough. They may have had more than one try or so at it, but it seemed pretty cool. And the way the article's written, it really captures some of the excitement that would have been there. Some of the highlights that I want to point out from the article is that on the second day, Steve Wiebe set a tournament record. So in a tournament style, no one had ever gotten over 980,000 points like he did, which was really cool. And the article said that the whole place like kind of started erupting in these like Steve chants, which I thought was really cool.
That is cool.
And Billy Mitchell during these chants went up to Steve Wiebe and shook his hand and said, "Good job, Steve." And considering what a Deutsch bag Billy Mitchell comes across in that movie, that was pretty cool of him to go up and say congratulations. On that day, Steve Wiebe was the better man between those two. So maybe he's not as much of a Deutsch bag as he's portrayed in the movie. Or maybe he's just growing up a little bit. Either way, I think that would have been a really neat thing to see, a neat thing to see happen. To see everybody kind of going nuts for Wiebe and then Billy Mitchell kind of bow out. So the way that then the story goes is that Steve Wiebe only got to celebrate for about a half hour or so because he had a flight to catch. And as he's leaving, Dr. Chen, who's the current world record holder, actually beat Steve Wiebe. So his live tournament record only stood for about a half an hour. And Dr. Chen was very gracious and very humble about it, said he didn't want to rub it in or go chase Steve down or anything like that. So for me, I thought that was really cool. And it would have been a really, really neat thing for a retro gamer to see. I'm sure it would have been like super dork heaven, and we would have fit right in. It would have been really cool.
Did they do videos for that?
I don't know if there are any videos or not of it. There were some pictures. I'm going to post a link. It was an article from 1UP.com.
Yeah, I'd be real excited to see that. That'd be awesome. Yes. That sounds cool.
So, I don't know. That kind of, to me, says a lot about retro games and just the gaming community. And, you know, we as gamers can get a really bad rap sometimes about being jaded, being fanboys, being jerks or secluded, but here was a situation where rivals, if you will, got together, were very cordial, and really got a lot of excitement and buzz in the air, and it brought a lot of people together that have a common interest in old games, and you gotta like to see that stuff happen. So, you know, all gamers aren't these jerks and these jaded people that live in mom's basements. You know, all of us, you know, have real lives and real things going on, and games are something to get excited about. As nerdy as it is, that's the truth. And that's why you and I, you know, record ourselves rambling for an hour a week to put out for people to listen to. Gaming's fun, man. There's a lot to it. So
yeah, and to me, it's all really about community. I mean, I try to tell Scott all the time, like, you know, Scott and I are working hard to build the Classic Elite brand. But to be honest, like, we're just as thankful for our first fans as we have been for, you know, the listeners who started listening to us last week. And I just love the community. I love the friends I've met through the podcast. And, mm-hmm. you know, even though I can't get online a lot to talk to them, I appreciate their shows and everything. And so, you know, we do this for fun, and we're going to keep doing it as long as we can. So
absolutely.
Community makes gaming. You know, there was I think Brennel Floss on Twitter was talking about a game show in Cincinnati, and I was bummed that I didn't know about it because, you know, I was thinking, like, it'd be fun to travel around just to meet different gamers from some of these game shows, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, even JT went to that Pokemon thing.
In
Indianapolis. Indy. Yeah. It's just cool to meet people who are passionate about gaming, you know? Like, I'm not a competitive guy in the sense of, like, I want to squash other people out. You know, I just think it's fun to meet people, and we've met people we never thought we'd meet doing the show. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up that point, just because community is so important in gaming.
And you know what? That actually, just by dumb luck, transitions into the last thing that I wanted to talk about.
Awesome.
So I download a game called Ilo Milo, I think is how you pronounce it. It's an Xbox Live Arcade game, and it's $10. And it's a board game that you play on Xbox. And so my girlfriend and I, we decide, like, let's play a game, but let's, you know, do something different. She mentioned, let's look for a board game, because I threw out the idea of, well, you want to play, like, Monopoly or Scrabble or something? And we both could tell that we wanted to play a video game, but she was right, you know. Let's look for a board game. So I Googled board game Xbox Live. And I saw a headline that said, Ilo Milo, best board game ever. I'm like, awesome. Downloading it just on that alone. So, Tony, have you played this game at all, or have you seen at all?
I haven't. You told me about it the other day, so I looked it up, but that's about it. So.
Okay, cool. Well, it's for me, it's one of the coolest local multiplayer games I've played in a while. And to me, that brings a very small sense of community because, as I've mentioned time and time again, local multiplayer is my absolute favorite. And that's gaming gaming with someone. That's participating with someone in the same room in gaming. That's something that I love. So basically, for those of you that aren't familiar with Ilo Milo, each person is a character. You're either Ilo or you're Milo. And you're stuck on what I would guess I would describe as a board similar to something you would see in a Mario Party game.
Okay.
But the unique idea with this game is that it's not about winning and beating the other character. It's actually about figuring out how to get the characters to meet. And there's all these different obstacles in the way, and there's different ways that you have to manipulate the board. And what's cool is only one person can move at a time. So it's not turn-based like Mario Party, where you roll dice and then you make X amount of moves on a board game. You have free reign. When it's your turn, you can go anywhere that the game will allow you to go. The thing is, sometimes you get stuck and there's nothing you can do. So what you do is you give control to the other person, and the other person has to go and explore their area of the board to try to figure out how to get past certain obstacles so that you guys can finally meet up. And the way that I guess I could describe the board design also is very similar to Mario Galaxy, where they really utilize all three dimensions. They'll have you kind of go upside down on the side. So there are times where we could get the characters right next to each other, but they would be perpendicular to one another. They wouldn't be on the same space, so that doesn't count. Just getting them in proximity doesn't win. They have to be on the same side of the ledge or of the board, on the same piece. So there's a lot of puzzle solving, and it's fun because we both start to argue like, oh no, let me have it. I know what to do. And then we'll kind of go back and forth. And the most fun about it for me is being the first one that can see it, that can see the answer, because since it's all in 3D and you're in this 3D world, and the board shifts around so much depending on the perspective that you have, it's really, really hard to just see right out of the gate how to solve the puzzle. And a cool thing that they added in, there are times where you'll get stuck behind segments of the board, and they allow the right joystick to completely control the camera angle for you. So you can switch the camera around and look at the board in a completely different way. And there's also a hotkey so that you press that button and it'll automatically tell you where the other person is on the screen.
Okay.
And another nice thing is that when, let's say you and I are playing together and it's your turn, there's a little icon on the screen that I can control. So it's really hard in a three-dimensional space to try to tell somebody where to go if they're stumped, but you can use this little cursor almost and say, hey, why don't you try over here? And you can light up certain blocks and stuff. That way the person who has control of the character and is moving around the stage can actually follow the logic and the thinking of what the other person's doing when they're not in control. So it's really neat, and there's really some cool satisfaction about working together. It adds a lot to, for our relationship. It's a different way for us to play games together. And it's something that for you and your wife, I would definitely check out. I know that your wife has a love for puzzle games like Peggle and stuff like that.
Yeah, she doesn't like video games, but that sounds something she might play.
So. Yeah, I think that you guys might actually enjoy that. And the earlier stages, I'm not sure about your youngest boy, but your older one, he might actually be able to pick up on the premise. So that might be a pretty cool game for you to play with him as well. So I would highly recommend Ilo Milo. I paid $10 for it, and I do not regret it. We haven't even completed the full second chapter yet, and I'm already highly recommending the game. So
Dude, that's awesome.
So yeah, man, local multiplayer community, gaming community is just, it's got a bad rap, but once you're in the gaming community, you realize that it's a lot of cool people and a lot of chill people that just want to have fun, and that's really important to both of us, and I'm sure it's important to our listeners as well. So, Tony, that wraps up everything that I had on my plate. So can we get into the deal of the week and then some review stuff?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm just kidding. Yeah, go ahead. No, deal of the week, man.
Gonna mute you right now. Well, J2 Games comes through once again. And do you remember last week when I was talking about games that need a remake? And one of the games I mentioned was Chacon.
Yeah.
Well, so I did some YouTubing, watched some gameplay of it. Looks like kind of a cool game. For me, it looks like the gameplay might be a little on the sluggish side, but it does look like a game that I could really get into. You're this skeleton-looking ninja guy, and you have two swords, so your character looks pretty cool. The environment is one where there's enemies all over, and so it looks like you could get some cheap hits, but the health bar looks like it's plenty full. So it looks like you can absorb a lot of hits before you die. Okay. And it looks really, it's a platformer. So once you learn where things are, you can, it looks like a game you can kind of breeze through the levels. And it's got a double jump, which once again, one of my favorite features in a platformer. And I've seen like kind of a double jump attack, which is pretty cool. And I also noticed in some gameplay footage that similar to Metroid, there's kind of like a screw attack where Chacon rolls along the ground and the swords kind of protect him, which I thought was pretty neat. So J2 Games has this game boxed, manual, listed in excellent condition. After you use the promo code CLEET, CL337, and shipping, total cost, everything delivered to you for $8.35 on eBay. The absolute best I could find for boxed was $12. That's after shipping. But they didn't list the condition as excellent. So, you know, this is a 25% discount off of anything that you're going to find on eBay, but this is in really good condition. So, I would highly recommend anybody that's a Genesis collector. If this is a game that you don't have in your collection, it's definitely worth the $8 from everything that I can tell. So, J2 Games, Chacon, The Forever Man for Sega Genesis, $8.35 is my deal of the week. So,
J2 Games, awesome.
Love them, man. They're a really cool site.
Yeah, I love going on there and just seeing what new inventory they have and just, you know, and Jay's been doing a lot of posting of different things happening in the industry. So it's a great site not only to check some things out from the industry, but also to get a great deal on video games. So
yeah, just the front page of J2 Games. You're right, dude. He actually just put up a video today revolving around Dragon's Lair. You remember that Laserdisc game that used to be in the arcades where it was like more of a movie than a game?
That's also a bar in Van Buren, Ohio.
Is it?
The Dragon's Lair? Yeah.
I need to get out there.
No, you don't. I know.
That just sounds like one.
You might never come back.
I was gonna say I walk in and it like in an 80s movie, the record scratches, the music stops, and everybody's, you know, turns and looks at me. But J2 Games, you'll get Chacon Man or Chacon the Forever Man. It's a good deal. So Tony, you had a review this week, right?
I do have a review. I wanted to talk I'd like to spend a little bit of review time talking about one or two of the videos that I did for review on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to check that out. We have a brand new intro from Noisy Cricket Media. It's youtube.com/classicleet. So make sure you check out all of our reviews. I do want to welcome Jeremy to the review team as well. He reviewed Tactics Ogre for the PSP this week for us, and he did a really fine job, and he's going to be doing a lot of PSP games for us, so check that review out if you haven't had a chance. But this week on the show, I want to spend some time, as you know, Scott and I are breaking into the consumer electronics field on the show as part of our show, and we really believe that a lot of gamers also like tech. So We just want to work with some companies, and we're making some good contacts. And so we received in the mail this week a Kobe MP977 7-inch video player. And I wanted to spend a couple minutes discussing this. You know, last week I talked about the soundbar.
Yep.
And this is a really neat device. I was really discouraged when I heard we were going to get it. Just not discouraged, I shouldn't say that, but I was really challenged of thinking, because it looks like a tablet, but it doesn't have any Wi-Fi or anything like that. And it's their top-of-the-line video and MP3, MP4 player device. And once I got it, I was really impressed with the device. So it's a 7-inch screen. It's not a touch screen. You use everything with buttons on the top and the sides.
Okay.
And really, my only complaint about the device is the button placement. I just felt like the button placement on the top of the device was a little awkward because of the size of the device. And the other thing is, if you're looking at the screen from top to bottom, which I don't know why you would be anyways, you kind of lose some of the viewing angle.
Oh, okay.
But it has a really nice LCD screen, and if you look left to right, the viewing angle is good. I was really impressed with this device of how many video and music formats it plays. I tested it out with MP4, MPEG-2, and Windows Media Video, and it played all of them flawlessly.
Oh, nice.
And it takes a lot more formats as well as with music. So
cool.
At first I was thinking, how valuable is this device in today's culture? Everyone has, you know, these things that connect to Wi-Fi, these tablets. But it's only around $95 for the 7-inch screen device. If you go on Amazon, you can get it for around $95.
Huh.
It has all sorts of formats for music and video. It has HDMI out, 1080p to your LCD screen.
That's cool.
That's
really cool.
And it comes with a remote control. I mean, how many portable devices come with a remote control? So I was actually able to hook up some videos to the TV through the HDMI cable.
How'd they look?
They looked really good.
Nice.
The only bad part about the HDMI out is the menu stays kind of small on the TV screen.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't blow up. But everything else does blow up, and it was really cool. I was able to set the device up by my TV, sit back on the couch, and use the remote control to change everything and select different videos. It was really cool. So it's a great video and music player. I was really impressed by it, and I was thinking, how valuable is this thing? How, you know, is it kind of irrelevant in today's tech culture? But after I reviewed it and after I got to learn the ins and outs of it, it's really amazing, because I kind of like one device that I can carry all of my digital video and photos with. And it comes in 4 GB and 8 GB models.
Okay.
But it also has 16 GB expansive memory through a micro SD card.
Okay.
So, you know, you can get a pretty good storage thing around 20 to 28, depending on, you know, if you want to max it out, which is a lot of storage space, because you can compress videos to be.
Oh, you yeah. know. You could get like a whole, like if you're traveling or something, you could put like a whole season of a TV show on that without a problem, which would be really cool.
Yeah, the battery life's really good. So I was pretty impressed. And probably one of my favorite things about the device is that everything comes with it. I get so tired of companies, even like some of the gaming companies, none of the systems come with a game anymore. None of the, you know, they only come with one controller, and they don't come with the charger and all this stuff. This actually comes with a case, the actual device, a USB charging cable, and transfer cable for your computer. It comes with an outlet charger. And it also comes with the HDMI cable and high-quality headphones with replaceable earbuds. I mean, it comes with everything that you need
nice.
To do everything that it offers. It's really
nice.
Impressive. So check out our video for the Kobe 7-inch video player MP977. I think it'll actually surprise you how good the device really is. So make sure you check it out. And thanks to Kobe Electronics for sending that over to us.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that's the review I had. And I don't think you have one, right?
No, not this week. My review pretty much was Ilo Milo. I just wanted to talk about that game.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's jump right into the modern portion if we can.
Yeah.
I want to start by welcoming a new sponsor to the show. I want to welcome AverMedia as a sponsor to the show. You've probably heard of them if you've heard of great capture cards for your computer and for gaming devices. Mm-hmm. AverMedia is actually sending us over their version of an HD PVR device that we can use to not only review for the show, but use to record high-definition videos for our video reviews. And Scott's actually going to be taking that one in and doing a lot of retro reviews with it. So I'm pretty excited about that. So welcome to AverMedia.
Yeah, that's exciting.
For Classic League. It is really exciting. So it's nice to have both them and Hapag, even though they're competitors, on board helping out the show. Pretty cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just can't wait to get a device that's going to work because I have just – nightmarish problems putting videos together, and if I just didn't run into the technical problems, I wouldn't loathe it so much. It takes me so much longer to do a video than it should, so the fact that this is going to streamline everything for me, and it really is going to, I can't wait. And it looks really sharp. It's a really cool looking product, so I've got everything ready to go for it. I'm excited.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's exciting. So welcome to AverMedia as a sponsor, and thank you so much for sending the device over. We'll actually have a review of that device up probably by the beginning of next week. So
yeah, probably before episode 46 comes out. So
yes. So that's all for kind of announcements in the review portion. I want to go ahead and jump into the modern portion. And just a big announcement this week, Crysis 2 has been released on consoles.
Yes.
I actually have to apologize to our listeners. I kind of made the call earlier this year that I thought Crysis would be the worst out of the three big shooters coming out. And it actually looks like it may be the best. We talked about Killzone 3, we talked about Bulletstorm, and then Crysis 2 as like the three big shooters of kind of the end of winter, spring 2011.
Yeah.
And what were you going to say, Scott?
Just that, I saw that Crysis 2 is getting really good reviews.
Yeah, and the PC version we're kind of leaving out because neither of us have a PC to run it on, and I guess you just need an absolute monster. But it actually uses the Cry Engine 2 engine, and Crytek has really outdone themselves with Crysis 2. I've watched multiple video reviews. I haven't played anything but the demo. I was pretty impressed with the demo, but I guess it's just visually a treat. And because of the upgrades from Crysis 1 to Crysis 2, it's just a really good gameplay. I mean, IGN is calling it the best-looking Xbox 360 game ever.
Wow.
Which is really impressive. And, I mean, I was watching the video reviews, and I was just floored. I mean, it just looks like nonstop action, over-the-top graphics. And I'm a huge graphics guy.
Yeah.
So it looks really fun. And, man, it's definitely going to be at least a rental for me. But Crysis 2 looks awesome. So I was pretty impressed with what I was seeing and reading about this week after the release.
I just want to see Crysis 2 in person just to compare it to Castlevania, because that's the prettiest game I've seen on a 360. So I would love to see how it stacks up to that, because that game was gorgeous.
So. It looks awesome. So cool. In other news, kind of in portable news, Angry Birds has a new version that came out, not just an update, but actually a new version called Angry Birds Rio. And the reason I mention a mobile game is because it was the biggest game of 2010, and it continues to be a top seller.
Mm-hmm.
Their president has said, and I've talked with him before about reviewing some of their products, but he made a huge rift in the gaming industry this past week. He announced that consoles were dead or dying.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up last episode to see if you had noticed that.
Yeah, that's a little bit over the top. But anyways, they released a new version, Angry Birds Rio. You can get it for 99 cents. It has new features, kind of new settings. I'm actually waiting on my review code in the mail. So hopefully I'll have a review of that pretty soon. But
nice.
And Angry Birds is awesome. So, yeah, I love that game. I mean, once you start playing it, it's really addicting. Did I mention the Star Trek video with Angry Birds?
No.
I thought I might have on an earlier show. It's really funny. Someone took an episode of The Next Generation, an old episode, and in the beginning of it, like, number one, Captain, or Will Riker, you know, the first officer on the ship.
Yeah.
He is like making out with this alien chick, and she puts this headset, and there's this whole thing where like this alien race in the episode is trying to overtake the Enterprise, and so they get everyone addicted to this game that you play, where like you put this band around your head and these things point into your eyes, and she's like, everyone's playing this game, and she puts it on his head, and he's like, he kind of gives these weird like orgasm faces and like, what is this? This is amazing, you know? And someone edited in Angry Birds.
That's funny. That's cool.
Oh, it's hilarious, man. It's like this real long video. We'll have to link it this week
if you haven't
seen it, but it's pretty funny. So, yeah, check out Angry Birds Rio. It looks pretty good, so I can't wait to play it. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the Nintendo 3DS in the modern portion.
Okay.
I have not personally played one yet or seen one in person other than a bunch of videos online. Have you gotten to touch one yet?
No, I have not, but I have some thoughts on it too. We'll see if you
That's right, because you don't touch it. It touches you. It pops out of the screen in 3D and grabs you by the face. So,
no, that's false. It gives depth.
That's right.
It does not come out.
That's Nintendo needs to re-release the real 3D system, the Virtual Boy. No, I'm just kidding. I would like to find one at a garage sale, though. I will say that.
It would be a really neat thing to have in a collection. It really would be.
Dude, you know what? Oh, man, I forgot to mention this last week. Before I get back to the 3DS, did I tell you what I found at the game store in town?
No.
Okay, well, I took some games in to trade in, and I had $10 left of trade-in credit. And I looked down, and someone had brought in a mint condition Nintendo Power Glove with the sensors.
Oh, you did tell me about that.
And I think that's probably only the second time in my life I've seen one. I think my friend had one when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like I mean that's the kind of stuff I eat up for the collection. I'm sitting there going, this thing's got to be like $50, because they go for like $30 to $50 on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy had brought it in today. The game store tested it. It worked fine. That day they brought it in. I had $10 of trade-in credit left, and it was $9.99.
No way.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I need to post a picture of it. But, I have an authentic Power Glove, mint condition, with the sensors. It is awesome.
My neighbor had one. That thing was a piece of garbage.
All
I wanted to do was, just like in the movie The Wizard, I wanted to play Rad Racer, and it did not work like it did in the movie.
Oh, yeah, dude. You just to think about any type of motion, anything.
I know.
But Nintendo sounds so cheesy. I mean, the motion controller things today can barely pull it off. So. Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's funny. But anyways, that was cool. I found that. But anyways, I wanted to talk about the 3DS. I've watched tons of videos, read plenty of reviews. And one of the things I'm just really disappointed about is they've given gamers a reason to wait for the second generation of a console or the second remake of a console. You know, like when they always release kind of a streamlined model. And I hate when they do that. Like, why aren't these companies releasing the good version first? I don't know.
Because the development starts at a certain point, right? So the technology isn't advanced enough by release date. And then also, as much as you try to troubleshoot stuff, dude, you can't fix every bug or find every bug on your own. You have to wait till it's out there. Sometimes. And
I don't know. But they're saying the battery life is only 3 to 5 hours.
That's bad.
That is really bad. Because if you have 3D, and they're also saying when you turn the 3D on, it causes some frame rate issues in some of the games, and it sucks the battery life. You know, it can be a little bit less than 3 hours at times.
Jeez. And I know that you can adjust the amount of 3D, because some of it looked a little funky if it was all the way up. I did hear that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure it's awesome. I would love to have one. I mean, there's no way I'm going to fork out, you know, $250 for it, but or whatever it is. But, you know, I'm just like, come on. The battery life, that's the most important part on a portable device. That's why I like the iPhone and the iPad, because you can go for 10 hours and, you know.
And that's exactly why the original Game Boy kept winning, even though it was green and gray as the graphics. It kept winning because it could handle 10 hours of play. You know, as a kid, I could play my Game Boy in a car ride from Ohio down to South Carolina with one set of batteries. Yeah. That's not a possibility.
That's also when you were popping in the four double A's, though, too.
that's true, but still, now they're supposed to have lithium batteries that are better. And
I don't know, man.
Well, have you also heard all the complaints about that, yes, technically it's backwards compatible with your original DS games, but that because of the screen difference, that they'll look stretched or distorted or not come through real clear?
Oh, so, I'm surprised that they didn't put that into the square format.
So it looks like if you have a DS, don't get rid of it so that you can get a 3DS. It's one of those things where you hold on to the DS and then also get a 3DS.
Now, they might be able to fix that in a firmware update, though. That sounds like a simple fix.
But I know that that's a complaint that I've heard about, and that kind of bummed me out. And then you've also heard about, did we talk about that, Nintendo bricking them if you try to hack it in any way?
Oh, that'll be broken in like a week.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they talked about it, the fact that Nintendo addressed that issue before the thing comes out, shows how easy it'll be to eventually get it hacked the right way.
Well, Apple has some of the smartest computer people, strongest security in the country, and their brand new iOS for the iPod and iPad and iPhone is broken like within 2 or 3 weeks of every release. So, yep. And the Dreamcast is unhackable. Or the easiest.
Or the easiest. Disc juggler. Oh, I didn't say that.
Oops. Dang it, Scott. All right. Well, anyways, 3DS, disappointing battery life. And while I'm ranting and raving, let's talk about the PS3 a little bit, okay?
All right.
I get so frustrated with the online portions of the PS3. Only because even to, like, every game that I buy for the PS3, I have to update it. And I don't know why. It's because I had to do it, like, 3 times this week. You have to update the game. Well, when I update my game on my Xbox 360, it takes like 5 seconds, no matter what it is. It's like quick download, quick install, boom.
Yeah.
When I put it in the PS3, like tonight, you know, my wife had to run an errand, so I had a chance to stick in Major League Baseball 2011 for an inning of play, and it took 30 minutes to download the update and install the update.
What?
And I have a pretty decent internet speed, and I'm like, so I had time to play half of an inning, and I'm just like, just frustrating. I don't understand why they can't fix that or have better servers. I don't know. It drives me crazy. But while I'm ranting and raving, I might as well say that. Love my PS3. Hate the download and install time of updates. So
you're not the first person that I've heard. Not the first person I've heard mention that.
Yeah. So, anyways. The last thing I want to talk about is I got Major League Baseball 11 in the show today from Sony, in the mail today from Sony. It's I talked about baseball season and doing some reviews, and so I'll be reviewing MLB The Show 11
Cool. And
MLB 2K11. And I have to tell you, The Show looks amazing. It's one of my favorite baseball games. And I cannot believe how realistic it looks, dude. I mean, it's disgustingly realistic. So I can't wait for all of our listeners to see the review. But, I mean, it just takes realism of the game to a new level.
Awesome.
It's really awesome.
Awesome.
So, very impressed with the show so far. Haven't gotten a chance to stick 2K11 in yet, but hopefully I will soon. So
it sounds really funny when you're like, I'm really impressed with the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're talking
about...
Not
our show. Our show sucks.
I know, but it sounds like you are talking about yourself. It's just, it's funny to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's huge. But anyways, that's all I have for the modern portion this week. So I think that's all for our show, isn't it?
That is. Everybody, please check out our site, classicleet.com, classicl337. I do want to make a mention. We do have about another week left. We have a remote giveaway, that Harmony 300 universal remote that I mentioned a couple weeks ago. We have an extra one that we are shipping out to a fan. I just want to remind everybody again, send us an email, send us a note in a Twitter thingy, whatever, however you say that. Leave us a comment on the actual contest video. and a winner will be selected at random. So please do that. Please rate us on iTunes. It's a good way for people to find us. The more ratings we get, the better chance we have for people to check out the show. J2 Games, thank you very much. Traverse over at Scenic 7PR, thank you very much. Gamersgate, thank you very much. And also Avermedia and Hapag as well. So we couldn't have the show the way that it is right now without everybody's help. So we really, really appreciate it. So
it's good stuff.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps up episode 45. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.